Thank you, Jeremy, and praise band and singers. What anointed and inspiring worship we have been in the presence of this morning. I want to start a brand new series of messages today, working our way through the book of Joshua. Now, I've never really studied in depth the book of Joshua, but the more that I've studied and the more that I have read it, I have fallen in love with this book. It reads really like an exciting novel, from the miraculous crossing of the Jordan River to the walls crashing down in Jericho to the sun standing still in the sky. It is through many twists and turns that we see in this book God's faithfulness and God's power. And I really can't think of a better book for us to go through starting in 2019 than this particular book. Maybe you're on the verge or the edge of this brand new year, and maybe you've set some goals. Maybe you've put in place some things that you hope to achieve. Maybe there's some things that you'd like to accomplish this year. And if that's where you find yourself, then you're at the right place today and you're here at the right time. Because the book of Joshua is an incredible, inspiring book. It's a book about new beginnings. It's a book about courage, and it's a book about faith. God's people are starting over. Anybody here need a new start? Anybody here make a mess of 2018? Anybody here want to put it in the past and say, boy, that year was miserable. That year was one bad thing after another. That year was not the year that I wanted. And maybe it was a bad year. Maybe it was not a great year. Thank God for new years. Thank God for new beginnings. Thank God for new mercies. All of us need a fresh start from time to time. The Israelites needed a fresh start. They'd wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years because of doubt and fear and discouragement. They needed to begin again. They needed a new start. They needed to create a new future for their children and their grandchildren and for the generations that would follow them. All of us need a new start from time to time. Maybe you heard about the little girl who was on her way to Sunday school, and she was running late, and she didn't want to be late, and she was moving as fast as she could, and she had her Bible, she had her Sunday school lesson, and she was moving as fast as her feet could take her, and she tripped and fell and skint her hands and skint her knees, and she stood up and she said, Lord, help me not to be late. Please don't let me be late for Sunday school, but please don't push me either. You know, all of us here need to be pushed from time to time. All of us here need a new start. So let me just kind of give you some background information before we really delve into the first chapter of this book. Joshua is one of the great franchise players in the Old Testament. In the span of this 24-chapter book, Joshua goes from being a slave in Egypt to being a servant of Moses, to being a soldier for Israel, to being a spy in Canaan. And then he becomes the successor of Moses. Joshua really is one of the great players in the Old Testament. He was a brilliant military leader. He was a strong spiritual influence for the nation of Israel. The key to his success was his submission to God. When God spoke to Joshua, Joshua listened and obeyed. And as a result, Israel remained faithful to God all throughout Joshua's lifetime. Now, I'm certain probably the vast majority of you know the background to the story, but if some of you are new to the church, you're new to the faith, let me just give you a quick version of what's going on before we get into our text. The nation of Israel had been enslaved to the nation of Egypt for 120 years. God anointed Moses, that powerful prophet, to go before Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, and to say, you know what, you need to let these Israelites go. You need to release my people and deliver them. Pharaoh had zero interest in doing that, and so God then unleashed, as a consequence, a series of plagues to the nation of Egypt. And finally, Pharaoh got the message, and he relented, and he let the Israelites go. They miraculously crossed over the Red Sea. They journeyed through the wilderness. They're headed to their rightful inheritance. It's a place that the Bible calls the Promised Land. And they get right on the verge, right on the edge of the Promised Land, and disaster struck. The people began hearing that already in the Promised Land, there were giants. There were walled cities that were greatly fortified by people who are a lot larger than they are.
And this discouraging news began to sweep and spread through the camp like hot butter. And the people began to grow discouraged, and they panicked, and they wanted to turn back and go to back to Egypt where they were enslaved. And so Moses sent 12 spies into the promised land to check it out, to scout, to see what was going on. The spies came back. 10 of them said, we can't do it. Boy, those people are huge. They're giants living there. We're like grasshoppers. The walls are fortified and strong. Yeah, it would be great. Yes, it's abundant, but it's just not meant to be. We're too small. They're too big. And only 2 spies came back, one named Joshua, one named Caleb. And they said, guys, we can do this. God will fight for us. This is God's destiny. This is God's plan for us to cross over, to move into our rightful inheritance and live in abundance for generations. But the bad report from the spies spread throughout the camp, and because of a lack of faith, because of a lack of courage to take possession of what was rightfully theirs, they settled in the wilderness. So we come to the first chapter in Joshua. They had been wandering aimlessly in this wilderness for 40 years. God's intent, God's destiny for them was to thrive abundantly in the promised land, but they sought to just survive in the wilderness. And because of that, for 40 years, fear ruled the day. So God's people did not understand that if you want to live in God's abundance, faith and courage, listen, are essential. Poor Joshua. Can you imagine what he must have experienced? He had to sacrifice 40 years of his life because of someone else's lack of faith and someone else's poor decision making. But Joshua never flinched. He never gave up. He never gave in. He never lost sight of God's reliable promises. Now, there's something very important contained throughout this book that we really need to grasp and to get into our minds this morning. That is this: Joshua is a book about victory in the life of a believer. The whole premise, the whole tone of Joshua, it's about victory in the life of a believer. And it teaches us, it instructs us about the victorious Christian life that God has in store for each and every believer. Take your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. I'll read just through verse 6, and then I'll just refer to other verses as we get later on into the message. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. If you're there, say amen. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan into the land that I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend to the desert of Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. I want you to see basically just 2 points this morning. The first point is this: I want you to see in this scripture God's promise. God's promise. Verse 1 says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now put yourself for just a brief second, let your mind wander back to what Joshua must have been experiencing. Moses, the only leader that he's ever known his whole life, is dead. Moses, the friend of God, Moses, the deliverer, Moses, the wise and discerning leader, is dead. Under Moses' leadership, God provided millions of people water and food and healing. Under the leadership of Moses, God provided a pillar of cloud by day for them to lead them, and fire by night to lead them. Moses was a legend and thought to be irreplaceable. But Joshua, a man of strong, supreme faith, and courage and heart. Through the faith of Joshua, he stepped in to one of the most intimidating leadership succession plans in the history of God's people. So how was Joshua going to pull this off? How was he going to do it? How was he going to fill the shoes of a leader like Moses? First of all, Joshua believed, like Moses, that God is all powerful. How could Joshua not believe this about God? In his lifetime, Joshua witnessed God do some amazing and incredible things. Joshua saw firsthand these plagues of God released throughout Egypt. Joshua saw Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, free God's people. Joshua saw Moses stand on the edge of the Red Sea and raise his staff and part that Red Sea while Pharaoh's army was on their heels. Joshua witnessed that sea that was parted as they crossed on dry ground, implode, unpart on the Pharaoh's army, the most powerful army in the world, drowned them and wiped them out. Joshua saw God take bitter water, brackish water, and make it drinkable. Joshua watched God over and over and over feed and provide for over a million people for 40 years. Joshua watched God's miraculous power day in and day out. So he knew that there was no problem too big for God to solve. He knew that if God chose him to succeed Moses, that God would supply for his needs just as he supplied the needs of Moses. Why should he be afraid? Can I ask you a question this morning? If God's called you to do something that's going to take a lot of courage, if God's called you to step into a role that's going to require a lot of effort, that's going to require a lot of perseverance, that's going to require a lot of prayer, do you believe that God would lead you to something and not sustain you through it? Do you believe that God can supply the needs of your future? Come on, church, y'all speak to me. If you believe that, then why do we worry so much? Why is there so much anxiety among God's people? Can I just tell you this morning, God did not save you to make you miserable. I get so tired of looking at sad, somber, pickle-puss believers who just look dreadful all the time. God didn't save you to make you dreadful. God saved you to make you joyful. God called you out of your sin to make you alive, to make you glad. If you're in Christ, you've been set free from your sin. You've been delivered. You've been empowered to live abundantly. Why not look like it? Listen to the promise that God makes to Joshua. Verse 5, he says, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you." If you feel alone today, if you feel hopeless, if you feel helpless, claim these rich promises. God has destined you to live victorious. There's so many Christians who just give the devil way too much credit and way too much control. The devil has no authority over you. The devil has no power over you. The devil has nothing over you except that which you give him. Listen, greater is he that lives in you than he that lives in the world. God has promised you victory over the devil. That's what he says. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Can I encourage you this morning? God has a destiny for you. God has a promised land for you. God has a Canaan for you. And it's only when you grasp and envision God's victorious plan for your life. So many Christians make excuses as to why they can't live abundantly, and they're constantly pointing to the giants around them. I would enjoy my life, but look at this. I would have more fun, but look at my problems. I would enjoy things a lot more, but look at the conditions. Listen, you've got to look beyond your problems. You've got to look beyond the giants. You've got to look beyond the excuses, and you've got to claim God's promise for you. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but plans to give you a hope and a future. Claim that promise of God for this new year, that God has a good plan for you. God has a fruitful plan for you. God has an abundant plan for you. God has a noble plan specifically for you. God's not out to get you. God's out to bless you. God's not out to punish you. God's out to prosper you. God's not out to harm you. God's out to help you, to bless you, to love you, to give you a hope and a future. The Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and they just gave up on God's plan. They said, man, it'd be nice. I wish we could. I wish we were big enough, but it's just not meant to be. As we enter into this new year, let me encourage you, look towards this new year with hope and joy and expectancy and optimism, because God longs to bless your future. God's got a plan for your future. If you'll just walk in obedience to Him, He'll bless you more than you could ever imagine. So get your eyes off your problems, get your eyes off your giants, and put your eyes on Jesus. You see, here's the issue. God got the Israelites out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of them. My fellow believers, you have been freed from this world. Now it's time for the world to get out of you. It's time to be liberated from the negative thinking. It's time to be delivered from the wrong attitudes. Here's what you got to understand as we approach this new year and the book of Joshua. The principle for victorious living, this is so important, the principle for victorious Christian living is, if there's a battle in life, there are battles, there are struggles. If you're facing a battle, if you're facing a struggle, it is God's battle and it is God's struggle to fight for you. God will fight for you. Imagine what that was like for Joshua to hear this news as he's standing on the banks of the Jordan River. He's looking into the land that God has promised his people 40 years prior. And Joshua says, I know there are giants. I know there are cities. I know this is going to hurt. I know it's going to be hard, but God will fight this battle for us. If that's where you find yourself today, it's time to claim God's promises. It's time to get your rightful inheritance. Verse 3, God says this, I will give you every place that you set your foot, as I promised Moses. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. Joshua knew that God could be trusted. He knew that he could believe God's promises. But I want you to see, secondly, not only God's promises, I want you to see God's provision. How was Joshua going to accomplish this victory? How was it going to happen? How was he going to overcome giants? How was he going to have victory over strong, fortified cities that were already established in the promised land? Listen, if God couldn't lead Moses into the promised land, Joshua had to have been thinking in the back of his mind, if he couldn't do it for Moses, how's he going to do it for me? So imagine what it was like hearing those words, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready. Get ready to cross the Jordan. Joshua must have felt overwhelmed. He must have felt overcome. He had so many reasons to say, God, I can't. God, I'm not able. I'm not gifted. This, I can't do it. If Moses couldn't do it, I could not. Joshua did not let his lack of confidence be the death of his calling. Think about this. He had almost 1.5 million reasons to tell God no. Just think, be patient with me, because I want to do some math here. I'm a graduate of Southwest, so y'all be patient with me. The Bible says in the Old Testament that there were 1,730 Israelites over the age of 20. All right? 1,730 people, Israelites, that were over the age of 20. Let's just say for the record, let's just envision that 400,000 of them were married. All right? They're over the age of 20. Let's just say 400,000 are married. All right? So that 400,000 that are married, let's say they had 2.5 children. All right, so we're looking at about 750,000 children. this is what was in the hands of Joshua. 1.4 million people that Joshua was going to deliver out of the wilderness into the promised land. We're not talking about leading a troop of Boy Scouts. We're talking about leading 1.5 million people, men, women, and children, four times larger than the population of Atlanta. And Joshua has these people whose lives are in his hands. And by the way, they had zero military experience. For 120 years, they were slaves. For 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. They had never been to battle. It's people like this that the Canaanites and the Jebusites eat for breakfast. How's he going to pull this off? What's he going to do? Verse 7. God tells him this. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous. Then you will be successful. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, Joshua? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord your God has given you for your own. So God's command was simple to Joshua. It was loud and clear. He wasn't to timidly step forward into the role of leadership, but he was to step forward with certainty, with strength, and with courage. Now, can I ask you a question this morning? Do you think God's provision consisted of strength and courage? Why did he ask Joshua? Why did he command Joshua? Joshua, you've got to be strong. You've got to be courageous. Think about it. God could have commanded Joshua to do anything. He could have said, Joshua, I command you to have faith, hope, and love. God didn't do that. God said, be strong, be courageous. He could have said, Joshua, just be fair and balanced. That's not what God commanded. God commanded him to be strong and to be courageous. Why was his command to be strong and courageous? Because he knew that Joshua did not have Moses there to lead him and to comfort him and to sustain him. He knew that in order for them to conquer Canaan, they had to be strong, they had to be courageous. There are 1.5 million people under Joshua's leadership who still had to cross the Jordan River. They had to march into the promised land. They had to fight for the abundance that God had promised them. And so strength and courage were absolute necessities in achieving their mission. So where was he going to get this strength and courage? Verse 7. God says, be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you'll be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be successful and prosper. So what's the secret? How's he going to get the strength and the courage necessary to fight his way into Canaan? Listen, he had to stand steadfast in the word of God. If you want to be successful, if you want to be prosperous, if you want to experience God's best for your life, if you want to live in abundance, if you want to do more than survive this next year, if you want to thrive, then get in the Word of God and let God's Word get in you. This book is our chart. It's our compass. It is our lamp. It is our light. It is our full and final authority. Listen, this is not a good book. This is God's book. This is not the book of the month. This is the book of the ages. And in this book, there are over 3,500 promises in which God says, I promise you and I'll make a provision for every promise that I've given to you. And so he tells Joshua, be strong. Joshua, you've got to be strong. You've got to have courage. I've promised you I'll be with you. I'll fight for you, but you've got to be strong. Five times he tells Joshua, go possess the land. Five times he tells Joshua, go get it. It's yours. And five times he tells Joshua, I will give it to you. I will fight for you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. You will be successful. And you know what? They were. They were successful. They boldly, courageously, daringly marched forward to claim their promised land. Can I ask you this morning, as you're considering this coming year, you're thinking about things that you want to achieve, things that you want to accomplish, and maybe God has called you to do something scary. Maybe He's called you to do something risky. Maybe He's called you to walk away from something and to start something new. Maybe He's called you to end a relationship and just be single for a while. Maybe He's called you to go into the ministry. Maybe you're having to step back and say, I can't do that. It is too risky. I'm not experienced. It's too hard for me. Maybe it's time for you just not to worry about what could be and just worry that God is able and to march forward and boldly and courageously and daringly claim your inheritance. Paul said this, God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. God has blessed you. Do you notice the tense of that word? God has blessed you. It's not God will bless you. He has blessed you. It's not God might bless you. He has blessed you. It's not God could possibly bless you. He has blessed you. The promised land has been put in place. God has your reservation with your name on it. You have access to every spiritual blessing that God has available. You have everything you need to go into the land that God has called you to. Last question. You want to stay in the wilderness or you want the promised land? You see, wilderness people say, I'm weak. And I'll always be weak. But promised land people say, I'm weak, but God is strong. Wilderness people say, life is tough. It's difficult. I can't make it. But promised land people say, life is tough, but God is tougher. He'll get me through. Wilderness people say, look at what's happened to me. Look at my past. Look at how I grew up. I'm a victim. But promised land people say, it doesn't matter what's happened in the past. The past is in the past. I'm not a victim. I'm a victor in Jesus. Which one are you? Are you a wilderness person? Are you a promised land person? Just as God told Joshua, He tells all of us here this morning, I will fight with you, and I will fight for you. He's promised us the same thing. Lizella Baptist Church, I'll fight with you, and I'll fight for you. Do you believe that this morning? Joshua believed it, and he had a strong, courageous heart and faith in God. You want to be strong in the Lord this morning? Then believe as Joshua believed. That God will keep His promises, and He makes a provision for every promise that He makes to us. And if you'll just not stray from His word, but you'll live a life of obedience, you'll live a life of abundance. If you'll be obedient to God, He'll give you the abundant life that you've always sought, and you will be strong in the Lord. Let's pray together. My friend, let me just tell you today, if you're here and you've never been saved, if you've never received the presence and the power of the Lord Jesus into your heart, you'll never live abundantly, but you'll always struggle in the wilderness. You'll never live in victory, but you'll always struggle in difficulty without Jesus. If you've never received Him into your heart, let me plead with you this morning. Come to know Him today. If you want to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, I would be honored. I'd be so honored to share with you this morning what it means to live for Jesus. How you can invite Him into your heart and life, and He'll change your life. He'll make your life better. He'll fill you with peace and purpose and hope. You don't have to struggle. There's a better way. In Jesus, there's peace, there's purpose. All those things that you've sought, you can find in Jesus. Drugs won't give it to you. Relationships won't give it to you. Money will not give it to you. Only Jesus. Find me after the service. If you don't want to come down during the invitation, find me after the service. I'd love to tell you today how you can come to know Jesus. If you're looking for a church to join and you've been coming here, we would love, we'd be honored to have you. We're just a Jesus-focused, people-friendly church, and we'd be so honored if you want to be a part of our family and you want to make it official this morning, we'd be thrilled. Or maybe you just need someone to pray with you. Maybe you're going through difficulty. Maybe there's something in your life that's worried you or scared you, and you just need someone to pray with you. We've got lots of people here this morning who would be honored to pray with you. Whatever God's calling you to do today, would you step out of your seat? Come forward in this time of invitation. We'll not embarrass you. We're not going to make you share your testimony. We're not going to make you say anything into a microphone. We just want to meet with you this morning, and we want to help you. Father, in Jesus' name, would you move with power in our midst for His sake? Amen. Would you stand to your feet? I'll be standing down front. The Lord's leading you. You come.